The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from AARP Magazine, the December-January edition, and, time allowing, also from the AARP Bulletin for December. And today's programming is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call them at 919-782-4733. Again, that's 919-782-4733. Now we're going to start off with, we've got a column here from the, I guess he's the editor of AARP. This is called Smash the Stereotypes of Aging. An important new book tells business and consumers what to expect during the silver tsunami. Joseph Coughlin is a man you want to have on your side. He is one of the world's foremost experts on aging and the founder and director of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Age Lab. Up in Cambridge, Massachusetts, Dr. Joe directs teams of brilliant young designers, engineers, social scientists, doctors, and researchers who study this complex subject with intellectual ferocity. Lucky for you and for us. Joe, who is 56, also serves as a member of the board of directors of AARP. A tireless researcher himself, Joe has written more than 100 scholarly papers, as well as a book on aging and transportation. Through his lab, he has created groundbreaking tools to teach the young the challenges of life as an older person. One of his most notable advances is Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, the student named Suit, holding hands with Joe. At right, there's a picture of Joe holding hands with a dummy clad in sort of overalls. Anyway, Agnes, the student named Suit, that attempts to convey some of the physical issues faced by many people in their late 70s and older, the better for the brainiacs to study them. When you step into Agnes's shoes and gloves and goggles, it's a little harder to see, hear, bend, and manipulate tiny cell phone buttons. She's an instant compassion machine for millennial whiz kids. But what I particularly want to tell you about is Joe's important new book, The Longevity Economy, Unlocking the World's Fastest-Growing, Most Misunderstood Market, which he described to me as a call to arms and instruction manual for how to redefine old age as an opportunity. We're living longer than ever, he says, and these bonus years are opening up vast new possibilities for products, services, and experiences. But most businesses are stuck in an outdated mindset, he adds, and can conceive of the older market solely in terms of health care and senior housing. Old age is a myth, Joe says. While there are certainly physical and existential realities to aging, we have been taught the false narrative that to be old is to be a taker, never a giver. That's despite the fact that we, the people over age 50, are working, playing, volunteering, donating, buying stuff, and contributing to a better world to the tune of $7.6 trillion in 2015, well over half of all U.S. consumer spending. Boomers alone control 70% of the disposable income in this country. In fact, we are frequently cast as a modern society's burden. We, the walking, talking proof of humankind's greatest success, longer lives, will crash the healthcare system, drain Social Security, and wreck the economy itself, critics warn. It's a set of pernicious stereotypes about aging that needs to be challenged now, Joe says, and that's what he set out to do in this book. Sad, too, that the F word never gets much of a workout when talking about getting older. The F word as in F-U-N, Joe notes. Building the future of fun in a society where 100 years old is the new normal is perhaps the longevity economy's largest growth opportunity. As Joe says, This is not just about the old. It's about all of us. With Joe on our side, it's not a bad time to be getting old. And this, as I say, is from Robert Love, who is editor-in-chief of the AARP magazine. Now we've got a few little short clips on the entertainment front. First is one on this movie, The Shape of Water, called Surreal Love. When Richard Jenkins first read Guillermo del Toro's script for The Shape of Water, he couldn't visualize this surreal love story centered on a mute woman, Eliza, Sally Hawkins, who falls for an otherworldly reptilian creature imprisoned in the high-security government lab where she works. The only thing the 70-year-old actor knew was that he couldn't pass up the opportunity to play Giles, Eliza's lonely best friend. It was unlike any script I've ever read before, he says, in the velvety soft voice that has distinguished his work as an actor. I thought it was a film about people who are invisible to the world, but ultimately it's a romantic fairy tale about love. For Jenkins, life boils down to three choices. You can choose anger, you can choose fear, or you can choose love. It's not complicated. That's by Laurie Berger. Here's another short piece by Laurie Berger, which is titled Cold as Ice. This is a spot on AARP Movies for Grown-Ups. Allison Janney plays the toxic mother of American figure skater Tonya Harding. You can't help but forgive, at least a little, the disgraced figure skater Tonya Harding after watching the biopic I, Tonya. The documentary-style movie, which stars Margot Robbie and Allison Janney, chronicles the life of the Oregon skater and the events that led to the infamous 1994 attack on fellow U.S. skater Nancy Kerrigan. Janney's performance as Lavona, Harding's abusive mother, is both painfully funny and heartbreakingly sad. It provides much-needed context for the troubled life of Tonya, the first woman to land two triple axels in the same competition. Lavona was desperate, Janney explains. She wanted a better life for both of them. She believed that her daughter was best motivated by harsh and unrelenting criticism, by being told that her skating was terrible, 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 Janney says. Lavona is the closest to a villain I've ever played, but I hope people will love to hate her versus just hate her. Then we have TV for grown-ups, cool new sci-fi coming to your TV. Attention all science fiction aficionados, a new slate of futuristic TV shows is guaranteed to satisfy even the most discriminating, die-hard Star Wars and superhero fans. Better yet, none are retreads of films or series you've already seen. Crew, set your multipurpose phasers to record. Happy. In a series based on the best-selling graphic novels of the same name, Christopher Maloney plays Nick Sachs, a down-and-out ex-cop turned hitman whose life is forever changed when a tiny, relentlessly upbeat, blue-winged horse shows up after a hit goes bad. Bright. Working alongside elves, orcs, and fairies in a present-day alternative universe, an LAPD cop, Will Smith, is unhappily partnered with an orc, Joel Edgerton, for an ordinary night patrol that turns into anything but. When they stumble upon a deadly magical wand, the action begins and they must keep the wand from falling into the wrong hands. And then, Counterpart. This espionage thriller with a metaphysical twist stars Oscar winner J.K. Simmons as a low-level U.N. employee, Howard Silk, who discovers through Prime, his near-identical counterpart on the other side, that his agency is concealing a gateway to a parallel dimension. And then under investigation, Was He Pushed? A new docudrama looks at the mysterious death of a CIA scientist. In 1953, Frank Olson, a CIA germ warfare expert, fell to his death from a New York City hotel window. The CIA says he jumped. Olson's son, Eric, and documentary filmmaker Errol Morris think otherwise. That's the driving force behind the six-part Netflix docudrama Wormwood, a compelling mashup of investigations into LSD experiments and government cover-ups, seen through reenactments. Peter Sarsgaard plays Olson, and live interviews. With Wormwood, Morris takes mysteries like the Jinx into a new realm. On the one hand, it's an examination into the nature of investigations, he says. On the other, it's an attempt to blend many diverse styles into a seamless whole. Now, here's something called Roll Your Own Burnett. 50 years after her variety show premiered on CBS, Carol Burnett is gearing up for a Netflix series early in the coming year. Meanwhile, here's how to access the old Burnett magic now. Her anniversary show, well, this is a little dated here, Burnett, along with an array of guests, recalls favorite bits from the program's original 11-year run. The Carol Burnett Show 50th Anniversary Special is a two-hour retrospective. Well, that's behind us. That starts, that happened on December 3. But on YouTube, Burnett welcomes visitors to her official YouTube channel, offering about 50 classic variety show sketches you can watch for free. That's at youtube.com/Carol Burnett Show Official. Then, number three, MeTV. This retro channel has chopped down the old show into half-hour programs and runs them on weeknights as Carol Burnett and Friends. You can get the schedules at MeTV.com. And on Amazon, you can stream an episode from the 1972-73 season of The Carol Burnett Show for $1.99, or the whole season for $14.99. And that's on Amazon.com. Now we're on to the upfront page. And here we have a thing. I used to hate salmon, now I love it. I used to love steak, now I hate it. Am I normal? Answer, yes. Wild swings between fish fillet and filet mignon may not be that common, but they're not unreasonable considering the vast sphere of senses, emotions, and experiences that create our taste, says Scott Stringer, M.D., chairman of Otolaryngology Department at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. Diminishing taste buds are just part of the story. Your nose's olfactory neurons, which pick up aroma molecules, also lose their regenerative abilities over time. Plus, changing tastes are partially evolutionary. Bitter receptors, good for detecting toxins, wane after the put-everything-in-our-mouths toddler stage. Medications can cause taste-altering side effects. And then there's a matter of physiology. If you can barely chew and swallow a steak that you've read isn't even good for you, your brain may decide you don't like it, Stringer notes. That soft, healthful salmon? It's never tasted better. That's by Celine Yeager. And then here, what's old is new. The milkman cometh. After disappearing for decades, he's making deliveries again, quenching a thirst for freshness. The clink of glass bottles, the slam of the ice chest lid, and some flirting with Mrs. Suburbanite. Yes, the milkman is the stuff of legend. But unlike with Sasquatch, there is evidence that this legend is vigorously alive. Mark Ferrier, 44, works for South Mountain Creamery, driving overnight routes in the Washington, D.C. area. This job is so physical, I've gone from 280 pounds to 245, he says. But his wallet is getting plump. He's earning more than twice what he did as a newspaper circulation manager. People describe it as Christmas Day on their doorstep, says Abby Brusco, the creamery's finance chief. Her parents, Randy and Karen Sowers, began delivering to 13 families in 2001. Today, the creamery has more than 9,000 customers and delivers other farm products, too. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says home deliveries make up less than 1% of total milk sales, but the farm-to-table movement, plus a growing passion for subscription products, has milkmen active just about anywhere there are cows. Can the milk drone be far behind? That's by Peter Moore. Then here are a few short book reviews. Here's one for The Woman in the Window by A.J. Finn. Rear Window meets The Girl on the Train in this twisty thriller about a troubled woman who believes she has witnessed a murder in a neighboring home. When even the police question her sanity and sobriety, she likes her wine. She's left to suss out the killer alone. Next, Happiness is a Choice You Make by John Leland. Uplifting and wise, this book details the year Leland spent reporting on the lives of six people 85 and older. It raised my spirits like no other work I have ever done, he writes. I expected the year to bring great changes in them. I didn't expect it to change me. Then the third book is The Immortalists by Chloe Benjamin. How would you live if you knew when you were going to die? That's the intriguing premise of this beautifully written story about four siblings who, as children, are each told by a psychic the date they'll die. They use this knowledge in different and sometimes tragic ways. Now, here is our old friend, Henry Winkler, and he's answering some questions in this column called What I Know Now. The Happy Days star on Trusting Your Intuition, The Power of Kind Teachers, and Talking to Your Knees. Finding Family Roots. William Shatner, George Foreman, Terry Bradshaw, Jeff Dye, and I traveled for 40 days on a guy getaway for the new season of Better Late Than Never. We went to Morocco, parasailed in Spain, and picnicked in a nude Munich park. Then we visited Berlin, where my parents were from. My Aunt Erna was smuggled out of Nazi Germany in 1939, alive in a coffin with a spider plant at her feet. When I moved to Los Angeles from New York City in 1974 for Happy Days, I took a cutting with me. That plant is now gigantic and hangs outside our kitchen. It's truly unbelievable, the tenacity of life. Dealing with dyslexia. I was dyslexic and didn't know it until I was 31. Couldn't do math, spell, or tell left from right. Left was the elbow that stuck out the window while I drove, I was told. I was told I should write books for children about it. I thought, I can't, I feel stupid. Then I thought, okay, I'm going to try. My fourth grade teacher, Miss Adolph, was very mean, and I portray her that way in Hank Zipser, The World's Greatest Underachiever, my series of books about a learning-challenged kid. My music teacher, Mr. Rock, told me, you're going to be okay. I've held on to that buoy for over 50 years. MacGyver Your Life. It was a very difficult time, 1984. Happy Days ended. I said, there's no way I can be a producer. My attorney said, you'll learn. The first thing we sold was the MacGyver television series. We shot 139 episodes between 1985 and 1992. Go with your gut. I turned down the lead role in Grease. Didn't want to be typecast. But you're typecast anyway. And it's not now that I'm like, oh, I should have done the role. It's that I turned it down intellectually instead of instinctually. Listen to your gut. It knows everything. Your head knows only some things. So I went home and had an orange juice. Travolta went home and bought a plane. Don't judge a book. Underneath everybody's persona is a dear person. After Richard Gere left the Lords of Flatbush, I joined and met Sly Stallone. Talks like a tough guy, but he is so dry and funny. Persistence pays. If you know what you want, keep heading toward it and you'll get there. Everyone turned down our Hank Zipser TV show. We sold it to the BBC and now to Universal Kids, so it has finally made it to America. Knees, please. The worst thing about aging? Convincing my knees to straighten after a long sit. I have a chat with them, but if you make a life that gives you joy, you have no time to get old. So, Henry Winkler and his knees lead us right into The Art of Falling Safely. Simple Rules for Hitting the Ground as Softly as Possible by Michael Zimmerman. It was nearly 30 years ago that Mrs. Fletcher from the Life Call commercials first uttered her plaintive cry, I've fallen and I can't get up. Back then, it was campy and funny. But in the intervening years, chances are that you and perhaps some of your loved ones have taken some nasty spills. It's not just the elderly, though, who end up on the ground. A study in the Journal of Allied Health showed that 50 to 60-year-olds fall more than older folks. We are more active, and that puts us more at risk of falling. Also, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that people are more likely to suffer a traumatic brain injury from falling than from any other cause. And we're all going to fall down. The world is full of banana peels. So while avoiding a fall is job one, knowing how to take a fall when it's inevitable is a crucial skill. Be smooth, don't panic, stay loose, says Alexa Marciliano, who is really good at falling down. A professional stuntwoman, she's taken serious spills in shows such as Orange is the New Black and Blindspot. Here's her four-point plan for a safe crash landing. Step one, stay bent. The moment you sense you've lost your balance, get ready to fall with bent elbows and knees. When people panic, they become rigid, Marciliano says. In the stunt world, we never reach out with locked arms. Bend your elbows and have some give in your arms to soften the impact. When you're rigid, you're more likely to suffer a set of injuries called foosh, doctor speak for fall on outstretched hand. The result is often a broken wrist or elbow. Step two, protect your head. If you're falling forward, be sure to turn your face to the side. Falling backward, tuck your chin to your chest so your head doesn't hit the ground, Marciliano advises. Step three, land on the meat. One of the things we try for in stunt falls is landing on meaty parts of your body, the muscles in your back, butt, or thighs, not bone. If you keep your knees and elbows bent and look to land on muscle, you'll be less likely to crack your elbows, knees, tailbone, or hips. Step four, keep falling. Your instinct will be to stop your body as quickly as you can, but your safest route is to keep rolling. Indeed, the more you give in to the fall, the safer it will be. Spread the impact across a larger part of your body. Don't concentrate impact on one area, Marciliano says. The more you roll with the fall, the safer you'll be. Advanced trick. In stunts, we do something called slapping out, Alexa Marciliano notes. As you fall, let your body roll and extend your arm palm down to slap the ground and stop yourself. Before the fall, while you can't prevent all slips, there's plenty you can do to improve your footing. Be here now. Practice mindfulness. Focus on the present and be aware of your surroundings instead of being lost in your thoughts. Fix your blind spots. If you can't see it, you can't avoid tripping over it. Have your eyesight and eyeglasses prescription checked regularly. Boost your balance. Stand with your feet together. Raise 1 foot an inch. Hold for 30 seconds. Do this for 10 reps. Repeat with your other foot. Now, here is the AARP Money Saver column for this month. Give yourself a financial checkup. Financial planners ask their clients these questions to determine if they are in control of their money. So just how fiscally fit are you? By Michelle V. Rafter. Do you have a will? Yes, that's a bummer of a lead-off question, but it's one of the first that Ed Jurtzen II, past chairman of the Financial Planning Association, asks his new clients. The answer, he says, hints at how organized your finances are. Dying without a will, he adds, leaves a real mess for your family. Prescription. An estate planning lawyer can write a will and related documents. Expect to pay a few thousand dollars. Going DIY, say, via a website, costs less, but stick to your state's rules for signing the will or it could be invalid. How much credit card interest did you pay last month? The perfect answer, zero, of course. Annual credit card interest rates now average 16%, so carrying a monthly balance can gnaw through your money like a hungry beaver. Prescription? Get motivated by math. tell yourself if you're not repaying, tell yourself you're not repaying a debt. You're making an investment with a guaranteed 16% tax-free return, says New York City financial advisor Gary Schatzky. That's what you get when you no longer have to pay 16% interest on a debt. If a tree fell onto your roof today, could you pay for repairs tomorrow? Financial planners advise you to have money in the bank for medical care, layoffs, or other crises. But only 48% of Americans have at least $2,000 in savings to cover such bills. Prescription? Divert a bit from each paycheck, for an example, $25, into an emergency bank account, not your primary account. Ask HR to split your payroll deposit, making savings automatic. Can you pass the 7-day cash challenge? Find yourself spending more than you make? Everyday food and fun purchases, for instance, can add up fast. Jurtson tells clients to withdraw the cash they think they'll need for the week and skip using plastic. People invariably are out of money by Wednesday or Thursday, he says. Prescription, a good way to start reining in expenses, is to track discretionary spending. Use a spreadsheet or an online service such as Mint. How much of your income goes to retirement savings? Advisors have formulas for how much money you'll need to retire in comfort, but those can be terrifying, says Jill Gianola, a Columbus, Ohio planner. Focus instead on saving now, likely your peak earnings years. Prescription? Aim to save 15% of your paycheck, Gianola says. If you can, opt for the extra catch-up contributions to your IRA or 401k that people 50 and older are allowed to make. For more checkup tips, go to aceyourretirement.org. Now we've only got a minute or so left, so I'll leave you with a few tips on making winter bearable. Learn seasonal survival from the masters of hibernation. Embrace hyperphagia or overeating. Instead of feasting on holiday treats, act like a bear and grab pawfuls of nuts and berries. They'll tune up your brain and immune system. Lose weight faster. Bears' winter-long fasting helps them lose about 20% of their pudge. Your variation? Intermittent fasting. Eat only during an 8-hour window each day. Shake it off. Dave Garshelis, a bear expert with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, notes that hibernating bears do a lot of shivering, which preserves muscle tone. Similarly, human fidgeting can burn 350 calories a day, and a Japanese study showed that setting the thermostat at 62 degrees impacts your metabolism and could cause significant fat loss in 6 weeks. Hey, boo-boo, spring is just around the corner. That's the Healthy Living little column by Peter Moore. And it looks like we've just about run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Florence Nash, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any head, neck, back, or hip issues. Call 919-782-4733. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you've got any comments or questions, please call us 919-832-5138.